Okay, time to get back to some gardening and see what we can do with green fingers, if we have any, that is. One lady who has got definitely got green fingers is Jean Griffin. She's back on Susie Radio. Morning, Jean.
Good morning, Tony. It's really nice to be back.
It's great to hear from you. We've almost missed a month, I think, because I know you've had some one or two technical issues, which we're not going to go into right
now. No, please, please. I'm not a techie person. I'm a gardener.
The wonders of technology. It helps us all, but it confuses us all as well. The other thing that's been troubling most of us for the last few weeks has been the amount of rain we've had. It kind of affects what you do in the garden, doesn't it?
Oh, totally. Particularly those people who love their lawns. Because if you love your lawn and it starts to get a little bit long because of the mild weather that we've had, everybody is saying to me, can we cut the grass? Can we cut the grass? Please don't. You know, leave it for a little while. Because the more you tread over the ground with what is sodden underneath, the more damage you're doing. Wait until you get a really sunny day and then mow your lawn. Because, as I say, you know, you're flattening the grass down and then your mower won't take it correctly. And also remember to raise the blades on your mower at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's one of those things that grass shouldn't be growing at this time of year, but the temperature and the rain have conspired to make it so. It's given farmers a problem, I do know that, because they can't keep them out, the cows out on the wet ground, because it just tramples it down. But there's some good grass to be eaten, and they're late making silage and stuff with cows indoors in the dry. But that's another story. We're talking gardening here.
It is definitely another story, yes. but they're all allies, aren't they? Gardening and horticulture and agriculture joined at the hip, really.
I think so. Let's hope for some more seasonal weather, I think, as we go through into December. The other problem, of course, for many people is making ends meet with electricity prices and gas prices going up. We have what is commonly called a cost of living crisis going on at the moment, which means that people have got less money to spend on other things apart from the essentials. And well, the garden may not seem like an essential, but if you're growing your own vegetables to try and save money, you need to find ways to actually save some pounds. And I'm guessing that there's been a publication of five ways to save money.
Absolutely. And I mean, the RHS particularly, who are the forerunners for the amateur gardener these days, what they're saying is, have a look at what you're doing in order to save money. How could you do it? You can grow your plants from seed. Now, a lot of people go into the garden centre first thing in the beginning of spring and buy all those lovely looking plants that are there. They put them out straight away, far too early, of course, Tony. and then the frost comes, late frosts, ruins it. So why not grow your own from seed? And you could grow things like marigolds, sunflowers. If you plant them in April and May, they will flower later in the summer. And therefore, they may, if we get another hot summer, last a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing.
Well, you save money a little bit by actually delaying, don't you, just a little bit?
Well, exactly. And the other thing at this time of the year, if you haven't sown your sweet peas, sow them now. You get much, much better plants if you sow sweet peas in the autumn. And all those sort of things like that, you think, oh, really, they ought to go in the spring. But sweet peas, definitely for the autumn. And believe it or not, you can actually sow a variety of ordinary pea, eating pea, at this time of the year.
Can you?
And they will they'll grow through the winter, and then they'll crop for you just that little bit earlier. And there are some really, really nice varieties on the market which you can grow.
Yeah, we've had some reasonable success with peas, and I think we're getting through the final few from a summer pick. So it's been quite good, and it does actually, strangely enough, it does actually save quite a bit of money on
peas. And not only that, Doucet Provençal. Now then, how about that for my accent?
Excellent.
They're the ones that you actually sow in the autumn, and then you actually pick at the end of April, beginning of May, if we haven't had a very bad winter. Anyway, let's go on a bit.
So we're growing plants from seeds is the first one.
Yeah, and then we're going to buy plug plants.
Buy?
Plug plants. And the smaller the plug plant, the better, because then you actually transfer those into a slightly bigger pot.
Yeah.
You grow them on in light and warmth, and you can either keep them on the kitchen windowsill or conservatory windowsill, and then harden them off and then plant them out. Much cheaper than going in and buying a much bigger plant to go straight into the ground.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So the next one, number three, is take some cuttings. Okay? So you can do, absolutely now, you can actually do some fuchsias, some chrysanthemums.
Yeah.
You hold them over winter, as long as it's not too cold and they don't get frosted. And then pot them on in the spring and you've got a much better plant. Mm. Right? So that's number three, taking cuttings. And then, this time of the year, I love it, because I can dig up some stuff in my garden from the herbaceous plants. Mm. Rudbeckia, all those sort of daisy-like things, helianthemums. Yeah. Dig them up, divide them, repot them, and then you've got new plants to either give away or to replant in your own garden in
repot
the spring.
Repot and replant then. Okay.
Yeah, divide. One of the things that Guy Barter, who is the chief horticulturalist at the RHS, he says, divide and prosper.
Oh, right, okay.
Which I like, actually. I like, yeah.
You're saving at the same time. It sounds actually like a political phrase, but only for plants.
Exactly. Don't talk politics, please.
No.
Right. And the last one he says, and I love his wording, it says, learn to love weeds.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, so particularly if, there's a big sort of a push at the moment, instead of mowing your lawn, you had all last year, didn't we? We had No Mow May, do you remember that?
Yeah.
No Mow May. Well, No Mow May went into No Mow June and also into July, and people were complaining, you know, particularly grass verges.
Yeah.
But grass verges are really a fantastic habitat for all the sort of bugs and beasties that you get. So I think No Mow May and No Mow beginning of June is okay. But those are the sort of things that really you could actually use on your lawn. If you don't put any chemicals or things on your lawn, then you can use loads of wildflowers, because those little wildflowers come up. Poppies, anything like that. And then once they finish flowering, you just mow your lawn as normally. But you get that lovely bit of splash of colour from wildflowers at the beginning of the spring.
So that sounds rather good.
That's our tips for cost of living saving.
Well, there are some ideas in there. I mean, I think it was Jeremy Clarkson and one of his farming program that did a little exercise with this and created a bit of a wild space, which seems to be the thing these days, to create a wild space. You're not necessarily going with the lawn thing, because many people like a pristine lawn, but there are places that you can set aside to let grow, to encourage wildlife and all the rest of it, and all sorts of wild plants.
Yeah, even if you do it, you know, if you've got an old you know, like a half barrel or something like that, you could actually do that, or even put some water in there in an old washing up bowl and plant around it.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised what you get in there. Hoverflies, and you get some dragonflies. It's amazing what you get in the garden if you provide the right environment for them.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, I'm looking right now at the rhs.org.uk website, and on the front page for December, because it's going to be getting colder. How cold this winter, we don't know. But one of the things, many people have greenhouses, and one of the gardening jobs for the month is to check that the greenhouse heaters are working. Now, there again is a problem because of the price of energy. It's all going up. How important is it to keep your greenhouse heated?
Not heated, but frost-free, Tony. And in fact, at the weekend, on Friday and Saturday last week, I, in actual fact, bubble-wrapped my greenhouse.
You bubble-wrapped it?
I bubble-wrapped the inside of the greenhouse. Now, what that does is that it raises the temperature by at least 2 degrees.
Really?
Honestly, seriously, it really does work. And the other thing to remember, that if you're stacking stuff in a greenhouse, you can't shut all the air off, obviously. But I have got soil in my greenhouse, so I stack my big pots, my really tender stuff, as close together as I possibly can, because then they warm each other up.
Yeah.
And then if it gets really cold, I shove some fleece over the top of it, and I double the fleece up, and then that, you know, you've got air going into the greenhouse. If you get a really sunny day, like perhaps we had last Friday, then open the greenhouse up, let some air through it, and you'll be surprised at how the plants actually grow in there. But bubble wrapping is absolutely essential, I think. If you've got an aluminium greenhouse, you can buy proper clips to put them in with. I've got a wooden greenhouse, and so absolutely fantastic with drawing pins.
It sounds. I mean, there are ways of saving money. That's for sure, without actually spending an awful lot of energy on heating up things outside. Because the other thing is to insulate outdoor taps and prevent ponds from freezing. We know about the outdoor taps thing. I mean, that's a fairly standard thing. Try and avoid getting those frozen up, because it can affect what goes on inside the house as well, I think, as it backs up the pipe, so to speak. But I don't quite understand how you can actually prevent ponds from freezing. They're supposed to freeze, aren't they?
Yes, except they, if you've got fish in there, they do need a little bit of air. Mm-hmm. And so the main thing to do is to actually leave a squidgy ball in there, like a rubber ball or a tennis ball, and then you can take that out and there's a hole underneath it.
What does a rubber ball do in the first place, then, if you put it into the pond?
Well, it stops that circular area from freezing up completely.
Yeah, but if your pond is deeper than your rubber ball... Oh, I see, you're talking about a much bigger rubber ball, though, aren't you?
Yeah,
floating, I got you.
Floating on the top.
I got you now, yeah.
Or even a tennis ball floating on the top will do it. It all depends on the size of your pond, of course.
Yeah, you're an absolute mine of wonderful. No, it's wonderful stuff to save money. You know, I mean, it's a brilliant thing, really. And then, of course, it's the time of year when we get high winds as well. And if you're like us, we've got one of these. It's just a very small greenhouse. We don't have a huge garden, but it's a very small one. But it's made of a plastic. Plastic is probably the wrong word, but it's made of a material that gets warm in the summer and that. But the problem with it is it's so light, and of course you get the first sign of wind and over it goes,
and
contents
it
as
goes.
Well.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's preventing certainly when you've got larger structures for making sure that they don't go sort of for a little flight into your neighbour's garden. Making sure that they're all sort of pegged down properly, I presume.
I think so. But even if you've got an aluminium greenhouse, regardless of its size, or with mine, I've got self-openers on there anyway, which are automatic with the heat. But one of the things to remember, that what you should be doing, is that if you've got the wind coming in on the, say, the left-hand side of it, always open on the right-hand side as well, so that the air doesn't collect inside and your aluminium greenhouse takes off. That has happened, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it goes straight through. I mean, that's a fairly sound piece of advice, that, I think.
Yeah. You need to open both sides.
The other thing that people do at this time of year, or try to do, apart from getting sort of things off of sprouts that are still growing, that's another story, is pruning apple trees, pears, those sorts of things.
That's right.
Is it a wise thing to do now, or should it be done before it gets really cold, or should it be done during the really cold season, or should it be done just as we come out of the cold season?
Well, when I was learning many years ago, I was always told that you actually prune your apples and pears at this time of the year, because in actual fact it makes sense, because all the leaves have fallen off, so you can see where you're pruning. And the idea of pruning is to make an open area within, the tree itself, so that you remove all the crisscrossing branches, etc. Now, winter pruning actually makes the shape of the plant that you want. Okay? But then summer pruning keeps that shape. So, in actual fact, for apples and pears, you do two forms of pruning. One at this time of the year, going right up until perhaps the end of February, beginning of March, and then you prune again in July to keep that shape that you've created.
Okay, so there are different times to prune different things then, I'm guessing in the garden. Okay. I think we've had a mindful of tips this morning, which is we've been very, very useful, and it would seem that you're probably going to be almost as well busier during well the rest of this month and December than you are the
Absolutely.
rest of the year, just making sure that everything gets through the winter and comes out the other side and brightens our lives up when the weather improves.
That's right. And if you have a chance to actually put some lovely, lovely manure on to the soil or your own garden compost as a mulch, do it now before the frosts come.
There's the
Really
other
good tip.
money-saving tip, isn't it? The compost.
Exactly.
We've spoken about compost many times, but of course it seems more important now than ever before that you do your own, because you're using your own waste, which is kind of useful and saves you having to sort of spend money that perhaps might be needed to be
Better
spent
spent
elsewhere.
somewhere.
Yeah, that's all good. Jean, joy as always to talk to you about gardening. We could probably go on for 3 or 4 hours on this, I'm sure, but we'll have to leave it there for now. And
Okay.
now, what we'll do is we'll come back to you in mid-December, and we'll talk about the real winter gardening then. For now, Jean Griffin, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.